Mishnah Yom is for Sunday, the 20th day of Kislev, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Yevamos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Hey. We continue talking about children who were born and we don't know who was the father. Kohenes, we have a wife of a kohen, Shenisar Vlada Belvlad Shifchasa, whose child got mixed up with the child of her Shifcha, a non-Jewish maidservant, Shifcha Knanis. So there's two babies born. One of them is a Kohen. One of them is the Eved of that Kohen, because a child of a Shifcha is immediately an Eved. Not Jewish, of course, but both allowed to eat Truma, as the Mishnah says. Hare Eilu Oichlim B'Truma. Why can they both eat Truma? Because whether one is a Kohen, whether one is a servant of a Kohen, they can all eat Truma. The Kohen's, it's a Kohen's acquisition. So eating Truma is no problem. But v'cholkim chelek echad bagorin, they only get one portion when they come to the threshing floor. Now, what does that mean? The Mishnah is not just telling us that when you give out to the kohanim, when they give out to the kohanim at the threshing floor, the kohen would come around and they'd get truma. It goes without saying that only the kohen can get it. That's not the chiddush, because we know that. The halacha is, however, what the Mishnah is telling us is more than that. Not just that only one of them can get a portion at the granary, at the goren, at the threshing floor, but more than that. Mishnah is telling us that if one of these two children come, we will not give them the truma. They need to both come. Zeh b'lo zeh, if one comes without the other, we're not going to give him at the threshing floor. And what's the reason? And this is the reason for this is because there's a halacha. We do not give truma to an eved, of a kohen, unless his master's with him. There's a special halacha because if you gave it to the eved of the kohen when his master's not there, people might start saying, oh, he's not an eved. He's a real kohen. Look, he's getting truma at the threshing floor. We can marry his daughters. His daughters are okay for kohenim, if we kohen him. Chas v'shalom, that could be a disaster. So to stop that happening, the rabbis said, the chachamim said, that we will only give it to an eved at the threshing floor if his master is with him. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah here. Not just that they just get one portion at the goren, but we would not even give it to one of them unless his master is with him. So here you'd have to have both of them there coming, these two mixed children. Ve'enon mitamin lemesim. Nor can they make themselves tomei for if they need to go to a levaya to attend a funeral of a meis? Why? Because each one of them is a sofik, is a kohen. We have to be machmer. The ein noisin noshim ben kisheris ben besulis. Nor can they marry women. They can't get married to a Jewish woman, whether they're fit for kohen, whether they're unfit for kohen. It doesn't matter. Because each one of them has a suffix on him. Is he a kohen or is he an abbot? If he's an abbot, if he's not Jewish, of course he can't marry a ksheres, a kosher girl. And we have to be machmer in such a thing. So they're stuck in limbo. They can't marry. And not to marry a goy is they can't marry a shivcha, or they can't marry because each one of them could be a, we don't know. He's a kohen. A kohen can't marry a shivcha. In fact, no one can marry a shivcha if you're even Israel. Igdilu hatarubis. What happens once they get they become adults? These children that are, we don't know who's the kohen, who's the avid of the kohen. Once they grow up, v'shichru zezeh, they will free each other. In fact, the Gemara says we force them to free each other, because otherwise they're stuck in limbo. They can never marry. They can't be metamal amesim because each one of them has a question mark over him. Is he the kohen or is the avid of the kohen? But once they've freed each other, he frees this one, the other one frees the other one. So now we know there's no more avodim here. What happens when an avod becomes free? He becomes fully fledged Jew, a fully fledged male Jew. So what happens after they've done that? This allows them to marry a Jewish girl. Noisin noshim ruis lekuna, but with a condition: the woman has to be kosher for kahuna. They can't marry a divorcee, for example, but they can marry a widow. Because a kohen is allowed to marry a widow, they can't marry a divorcee though. And because each one of them are Jewish, but one of them is a kohen and one of them is a ger, basically, and because we don't know which one is which, Therefore, both of them are restricted from marrying women that are unfit for a kuna. Both of them can't marry divorcees, for example, but they can marry a widow, like any kohen can. And they cannot make go to attend and make themselves tamei for dead bodies, even close, unless, of course, the closest relatives that a kohen can matami himself to. And again, because we don't know who is the kohen. Yes, they're both Jewish. They freed each other. They can get married, but they're both under a suffix of which one is the kohen. That will may never be cleared up the rest of their lives. What happens if they did get tamei to a mace? Normally, a person who a kohen makes himself tamei to a mace gets malchus. They can't be asked to suffer the punishment of 40 lashes. Why? Because each one of them can say, "I'm not the kohen. I wasn't the kohen. I was the ger." Furthermore, they cannot eat truma. Why can't they eat truma? Because when he was an avid, before he was freed, well, he can eat because he's avid of a kohen. So it doesn't matter if you don't know who's the kohen, who's the avid, in terms of eating truma, they're eligible. But now that he's been freed, whichever one of them, the avid kohen has been freed, they're both Jewish. One is a kohen, one is not a kohen, one is a Yisrael, because we don't know which one's which. Therefore, both of them cannot eat truma. Yisrael cannot eat truma, basically. Ve'ina meichem truma. Ve'im achlu. What happens if they both did eat truma? Beshogi, by accident. Einon meshalmen ken luchemesh. They will not pay the usual penalty for eating truma, which is ken luchemesh, the principal, and a chemesh, and adding a, what we call 1/5, but it's actually what we call a quarter, an amount that would be 1/5 of the total. And why is that? Because each one can say, I'm a kohen. I'm not paying. Each one of them. And you can't prove. You can't prove which one is not the kohen. Ve'einon cholkin al gon. They do not get a portion, even one portion of the truma, which they give out at the granaries, even though one of them is a kohen, and even if they're coming at the same time. Because if we start giving it to them, they might come to eat it. And we know that only one of them is really the kohen, the other can't eat it. And to stop this happening, we would not give out the truma. They can actually sell their truma. These two, the one who don't know who's a Yisrael and who's a kohen, they can sell to the kohenim the truma that they separate from their own produce, but they can keep the money. Why? Because as far as the truma itself is concerned, that they can't eat chas v'shalom, because they may not be kohenim. One of them is not a kohen. But in terms of the money and compensation, yes, they can keep it, because each one can sell the kohen. Prove to me that I'm not a kohen. Until you do, I'm not paying you. I'm keeping the money of the truma. But since it's forbidden to eat it, so what they do is they sell it to the kohenim and they keep the money. Ve'einon cholkin b'kodshei mikdash. They do not get a portion in the kodshim. Now, this is even things which are not edible, things like leather, the skin of the animals that normally a kohen would get, because we could say to each one of them, bring a raya that you're a kohen, bring a proof that you're a kohen, and then we'll give you the produce. Ve'ein noisenim lahem kodshim. We don't give them kodshim. That means karbonis to offer. We don't give them karbonis to offer. Some say it means we don't give them kodshim like the b'choros. A b'chor normally is given to a kohen, or charomim, the cherim that a person dedicates or dooms to a kohen. They usually get it, but again, they don't know which one's a kohen. None of them can prove who's the kohen. Ve'ein moitzin shalhem miyoda. This means that if they were chayv a chatas, these two sfeikas, which we don't know who's the kohen, if they were chayv to bring a chatas or an asham or an oila, we would not force them to give their kodshim to the Anshe Mishmar, to the men who are, the kohenim were divided into 24 groups. We do not force them to give it to the group that was officiating that week. They can give it and have the right to give it any kohen they want, or any Mishmar they want. That's how Rashi learns. Ufturin min azroim l'chayayim min akeva. They're exempt from giving the normal gifts that a person has to give to the kohenim. This is not talking about kabonis, this is just general food, general animals. The zroya is the right foreleg, the lachaim is the cheek and the cheekbone and those parts attached to it, and the keva is the stomach of the animal. This is normally something that is going to the kohenim, me'es ha'om, from the people that are shechting the animal, from which we learn from the people, but not the kohenim. Kohenim are exempt of giving this. So since they're exempt from giving this, these two people, one of them is a Kohen, one of them is not a Kohen, until you can prove which one's a Kohen, they don't have to give their the kotshim to the Kohenim, to the Mishmar serving. What happens if they have a firstborn animal born in their property? Then we tell that tell each one of them they have to let it graze until it gets a mum. What happens is once it gets a mum, a blemish, the type of blemish that you have to that you're allowed to shecht it in your backyard, you don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So that once that happens, then they can eat it. Why? Because even if they're not a Kohen, they can eat it. Whilst it's a tam, whilst it's unblemished, then it has to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, and the only ones who can eat are a Kohenim. And here there's a problem because we don't know who's the Kohen. So the Mishnah suggests the best thing is let it graze, let it get a blemish that then you can eat it and shechter, you don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you shechter your own backyard, for example, and you can eat it, and that way both parties or both of these children can eat it. Benoisin love, we put on each one of these boys, Chumre Kohenim v'chumre Yisraelim. We are machmer as if they're Kohenim, machmer in case of Yisraelim. The Gemara explains that this means, this has a reference to bringing a korban mincha, a pancake offering. A mincha of Yisrael, one does kmitza, one takes a fistful from it, you burn that on the mizbeach, that's called the koimetz, and the balance is eaten by the Kohenim. But if it's a Kohen himself who is bringing a mincha, the Torah says it has to be burnt, completely burnt, no kmitz is done. Now, our Mishnah is telling us that if one of these two, and we don't know who's the Kohen and who's the non-Kohen, one of them brings a mincha, it has to be treated with the severity of a mincha, of a Yisrael, which means that you take a kmitza from it. But when it comes to eating the balance, we say no, no one can eat the balance, not the Kohenim can't eat the balance like normally, because the person bringing it might be a Kohen. So what do you do with the balance? And you can't burn the balance on the Mizbeach, because we have a special mitzvah, a mitzvah which it says in the Torah, lo saktiru mimenu ish el Hashem, from which we have a special halacha the Gemara learns, kol shemimenu ishim harahu b'bal taktiru, which means anything, any korban, where part of it is going onto the fire, you cannot put the rest of it on the fire, on the Mizbeach. Bal taktiru it's called. Lo saktiru, do not burn, mimenu ish el Hashem, if some of it has already been offered as a shel Hashem. So what do you do with it? So the Gemara tells us that what the Mishnah is telling us here is that after the kmitza is burnt on the Mizbeach, as you would do with a mincha of a Yisrael, you take the balance of it. You cannot give it to the Kohenim to eat it, because it might, this person bring it might be a Kohen. You cannot offer it on the Mizbeach either, like you did with the kmitza, because of the pasuk lo saktiru. So what do you do with it? You burn it in a place called Beis Hadeshen. There's a place called special outside that was called the house of the ash, where they would take the ash out of the Mizbeach. That's where they would burn the balance of this mincha. So what we've done is we have satisfied the conditions in case this person offering it was a Kohen by not eating it, not allowing the balance to eat it. We've satisfied the conditions in case it was Israel by giving the kmitza on the Mizbeach. And that's what the Mishnah means by Chumrei Kohenim v'Chumrei Yisraelim. Mishnah Vav. We learned earlier on that a woman who has been widowed or divorced cannot marry until 3 months pass from the day of the death of her husband or the day of the divorce. Amish is going to talk about what happens if a widow or a divorcee did not follow this these instructions and now has a child which has a questionable parent in terms of the father. Who is the father? Now, we're going to have a look now that this is going to create problems when it comes to Yibum and Chalitza. Says the Mishnah, Mishaloi Shohasa Achar Baila, a woman who did not wait the required period after her husband had either died or divorced her, Shlesha Chadoshim, she didn't wait the 3 months. Venises, she got married to someone else in the meantime, Violda, and had a child. Ve'en Yodua, now it's not known, Im Ben Tisha L'Rishon, if this child is a 9 month term baby from the first husband, Iben Tisha, Iben Shiva Lachar, or is it a premature child, 7 month, of the second husband? So we don't know now who is the father. Hoyula Bonim Minarishan, this woman now had children from the first husband, Uvoni Minasheni, and also had children from the second husband. The question is, this child has been born, who are his brothers? Says the Mishnah, Cholzin velo miyabmin. The son, one son from the first husband, and one of the children, or one of the sons of the second husband, each have to give a chalitza to this widow of the Suffolk, of the one who we don't know. And this is because for each one of them, this man could be the brother of her husband. But she doesn't know which one. So she needs to get chalitza from sons from the first husband or the second. And the second. But v'lo miyadin, they cannot give yibum. Why not? Why can't they marry him? Because for each one of them, it could be that this is not a husband's brother on the father's side, but only a husband's brother on the mother's side. And that's absolutely prohibited. One is absolutely prohibited to marry the brother, to get married to the brother. A man cannot marry his brother's wife if it's only his brother on his mother's side. V'chein hu lohem. The same thing will be in the reverse situation. Let's say a child or children died from the first husband, or children died from the second husband, and now their wives have a quandary. What do we do with this Suffolk, this person who was a Suffolk as far as Yibum is concerned? Choletz v'lo miyabim. He too, the Suffolk person, has to give chalitza, cannot do Yibum for the same reason, because he does not know, this Suffolk person does not know who are his brothers on his father's side. And if he tries to do Yibum with the widow of the brother of the children of the first husband, maybe that's not his brother on his father's side, only the mother's side, and that's an arois. He can't do that. If he tries to do Yibum with the widow of the brother and the second husband, again the second from children of the second husband, again the same problem could be. Might be marrying the widow of a brother on the mother's side only. Again, absolutely prohibited. One can only marry the brother's wife and do the mitzvah of Yibum if that brother was a brother on sharing a common father. That's the only time that the mitzvah applies. Hoyuloi. Now what happens if this Suffolk person had achim min harishain, v'achim min hasheni, shaloi ma'oisa ha'em? Now, let's say this person who is a Suffolk, we don't know who his father is, this is the first or second husband, but let's say there were brothers from the first husband and brothers from the second husband that did not share a common mother. So let's say the first husband of his mother had a child from another woman, a previous marriage. And similarly, maybe the second husband had already a child from a previous marriage. Then they married and they died without any children, no children whatsoever. Who? The Suffolk person, choletz umiyabim. He can absolutely do chalitza or yibum. There's no problem here. He can do it to the wife of the son of the first husband or the wife of the son of the second husband. Why? Because it was really his brother's father's side, fantastic, he's done the mitzvah of yibum. If this man, this child of the first husband, was not his brother, well, there's no problem because his wife is not related to him at all. They're not brothers at all. So, and that's talking about if there's no other brother apart from him. Obviously, if there was another brother, then the other brother would have to give chalitza first. But assuming there's no other brother, then there's no problem whatsoever for this Suffolk person to do chalitza yibum. What about the other way around? V'heim. What about the brothers from the first husband and from the second husband that were not from there, that did not share a common mother? Echad chalitz, echad miyabim. One can give chalitza and the other can do yibum. So if the Suffolk person died without children, then one of them, either the son of the first husband or the second husband, doesn't matter, first gives chalitza to this wife of the Suffolk person, and then it's mutter for his friend to do yibum. Why? Because once the son of the first husband, for example, has given chalitza, then the son of the second husband can do yibum, and there's no problem. Because if it's the wife of his brother, then he's done the mitzvah of Yibum. And if it's not the wife of his brother, well, it's not the wife of his brother at all. They're not even brothers in the common mother, because we're talking about children that were born previously from previous marriages. And if there's a wife that's not from his brother, then she's not related to him at all. And as long as the son of the other husband, of the second or first husband, has given chalitza, she's mutter now for everybody. She's like any ordinary woman who can get married.